It's the post-match show after Liverpool beat Ajax 1-0 at home to go through to the knockouts of the Champions League again. To talk about all of that, I've got Andy here and I've got Phil Blundell and Ben Jono. And Ben, you know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, a straightforward night. You know, they had some chances as well. They had a lot of the ball, but we just needed to go through tonight and that's what we did. And yeah. As champions.
Yeah, we went through, we topped the group. It was a perfect night. But I think also, one of the things that's sort of most encouraging about it is Ajax are really good.
Yeah.
Ajax imposed themselves on the match and Liverpool found a way to grind them down, to get control of the game, to play footy, to start creating them chances. They found a way to win. And that's what's most important about this Liverpool team is nine times out of ten, they found a way to win. Tonight they've done it. It was exactly what we needed. It gives us a little bit of respite, gives us a bit of, you know, give them next week off. You know, give the players a couple of days to relax, to rest, and to recuperate. And it was a good performance. It was a really good performance.
Yeah, Phil. That makes a good point there about Ajax. And when the draw was made, you know, we obviously didn't get a huge team like we could have sometimes in that second season. But you looked at Ajax and Atlanta, the tough two tough teams there. They could cause us problems. We played them four times, you know, as a total, and won three of them. And that's really good going, isn't it? You know, the easiest team in the group, but we've left that one to spare.
I mean, usually when you get through comfortably like we have done, it's because you play the poorest side in game four or game five.
But we haven't. The two back to back.
But this time, we get to go there next week, and we're only qualified. We've won the group because we could have been in a position quite easily where there's a week-long discussion about whether you go there and you try and win the group or not, and we've completely eliminated that conversation from it now, which is vital, because what do you get to do next? What they get to do next week is paradise for them. We finish on Sunday night at about 9:15. They haven't got to play a game of football until
half four
Sunday. Yeah. That's the longest they've had off since what, August? It's massive. It's massive for them. They know that two of the next 3 weeks are effectively one game a week, which is a huge thing for them at this stage of the season, especially when the teams that we're going up against are now sort of into a position where, you know, we're in the same position as Brighton now and Crystal Palace and Southampton. All these teams who've been playing once a week and having a nice little sit down for 3 days a week while we've been playing another game of footy. We're in the same boat as everyone until February now. And that is a huge, huge advantage, particularly when we're going to start getting a couple of players back over the next couple of weeks, it looks like.
Yeah, the lads out there did really well. Andy obviously was, you know, a little bit of a, you know, Jürgen said at the weekend it was basically whoever was fittest plays, and it felt like a little bit like that tonight. Obviously a few, you know, not least the likes of Gini Wijnaldum just being asked to go again and things like that. But all of them did well, all things considered, against a lively Ajax side who were going great, you know, in their league. I noticed they won both the last games 5-0, and you know, we did well tonight, we did everything we could and we got away with the win.
Yeah, they did. Jenny, it's funny you mentioned Jenny. He was the one I was worried about. We did talk about having players in the red zone. He just seemed to have played every game this year, but seems to have come through it unscathed. I don't know about front to back. They were all right. I don't think anyone had the poor game. I think that's the first time for a while, and that isn't digging anyone out there. You could say everyone's been at least a solid seven through the performance. I mean, I won't get onto it, but I thought I've just been watching over Ben's shoulder to be interviewing Kelleher, and he looks beaming, and he's right, so he should be. I think that's one of the best debut performances I've seen in a red shirt, especially from a kid in a long time. But all the way through, I thought Curtis Jones was good. I thought Nico Williams, considering the pressure he's been under, was exceptional. So great, yeah. And as you said, I know it's the running joke, but we go into next week with absolutely zero pressure. And even when we've had the boss lads, we've been sweating on a result in the last game. So yeah, all credit to them. And you know, as you said, this little break we've got now will be manna from heaven, especially for the manager, and maybe just getting a few nearer getting minutes on the pitch again. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite a debut for the goalie. He's played the best of cup, hasn't he? But I mean, Champions League, John, was a step up from MK Dons, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You're playing against Ajax. You know, even an empty Anfield is quite daunting for a lad sort of running out. I don't know, maybe even more so. But he did great. He grew in confidence. And, you know, we did a little video with Dan just there for social. And, you know, he pointed out that the claim and catch is almost as good as the save just before it.
It's, to be fair, it's a big call from Jürgen. Do you know what I mean? It's a big call. And And you're looking at it and you're thinking, bloody hell. You know, it is one of them things where you think, he's put a bollocks on the line, he the manager.
Yeah.
But it's worked out. And I think the reason it's worked out is the keeper's come in, he's done really well. Do you know, he
makes that early save, doesn't he?
He makes an early save, anyway. He's got soft hands, at soft sides anyway, he's got nice soft hands and he keeps holding the ball, but also his confidence on the ball's really impressive. You know, he was relaxed all the way through. He's made some really good saves. It's not like he's had nothing to do and he's got away with a clean sheet and he's walked out with nothing to do. He's made a great save first half, point blank 1 second half from Huntelaar last minute. We were talking just before the game, similar-ish goal against Everton where Michael Keane scores the header. And it's a similar-ish save. Adrian pushes it into the top of the net, he pushes it around a corner. I don't know. I think in terms of Adrian, I think what's clear is that he's maybe suffering a little bit with confidence. And has been while he's been playing the last few times he's played. And I think if you've got a full strength back four, Virgil, Joe Gomez, Trent, Robbo, it's relatively easy to make a decision whereby you go with your nominal second choice goalie because you think, well, he's not really going to have much to do. So it doesn't really matter. But you've got a weakened defence. And you've got a keeper who defenders then aren't sure what he's going to do. Is he going to come? Is he going to stay on his line? I think one of the big critiques I'd have of Adrian is he's, I don't think he's very sure about what he's meant to do when Liverpool, the way Liverpool play. I don't think he necessarily suits Liverpool's game. He's not good with the ball at his feet. He's not good attacking the ball on the edge of his box. It's not his natural game. It's not his fault. And I think Jürgen's probably looked at him and thought, you know what, this kid's been doing really well in training. He's naturally aggressive. He's beefed up. It suits his game a little bit more the way we play. We've trained him for years to play this way. And he's took his opportunity and he's had a blinder. Yeah. There's no two ways about it. He's done as well as could be expected.
Absolutely. Yeah, done as well as could be expected. And I would say the same for Nico Williams, Phil. And it's funny because normally, you know, if when a young lad struggles, and he did struggle, you know, you don't get taken off at half time if it's going well for you. He does struggle. And normally, you know, if he starts again, you'd say, oh, that's a vote of confidence from the manager. Nico Williams knows realistically he's throwing him in because there's no one else to play there. Do you know what I mean? And so he knows that. So I think to perform as well as he did tonight, you know, he gets the assist, but not just that, about his all-round game was as Andy says, 7 out of 10. And you know, he deserves a lot of praise for that, I think, in terms of his mentality, because he must know that, well, look, I'm playing here because there's no one else, basically. Do you know what I mean? There's not even a midfielder who can play there, but I'm just going to go out there and believe in myself and do it. And he did.
He played well, and he's stuck a ball on his left foot.
Yeah.
And that's how Curtis Jones gets the goal. But I think he was helped by, we had an opposition who weren't trying to just constantly fill gaps and defend. They were a bit open. There was a little bit of space for him to utilise when he both carried the ball forward and also find players. Because I think one of the things he struggled with on Saturday was that basically he had the ball and he's looking up. But his alternative, his issue is if he went backwards, he wasn't going to Fabinho or Joe Matip, he was going to Nat Phillips, which isn't really, if you're a young right back, you don't really want to be using that as you get out of jail card, because you basically know Nat Phillips was probably going to launch it. And that's fair enough, because that's what he rightly should do, but it sort of makes you think about not playing the easy ball, whereas tonight he can play that easy ball, and because they know he'll happily play the easy ball, it means that there's a possibility that he can play a bit more of a difficult ball in front of him. But I thought he did really well. I felt a bit sorry for him with some of the stick he's been getting recently, because there's a lot of people being on his back, and I think he struggles a little bit defensively at times because he's a bit unsure and he's not, this player's playing at a tempo that he's just not used to, and that's fair enough. But I think you can see he's got something on the ball. I think he's useful on the ball. There was the back end of last season, he would let them take set pieces. Now, if they didn't have confidence in him and he didn't have confidence in himself, they wouldn't be letting him do that. And you've got to remember, he's playing instead of Trent Alexander-Arnold. There will be a drop-off. There's going to be a drop-off, and you sort of have to be a little bit understanding that he's not going to be as good as what the alternative is. And tonight he's shown that I think he can do it. He's there and he's able to do a job, I think.
I think it's about it's about Liverpool setting up in a way that sort of helps them as well. Do you know what I mean? I think the issue with Brighton on Saturday was that Brighton were happy to let the ball be funneled to him and then him sit on it and they just block passing lanes and say what he wants to do. Yeah, Klein, what's his name? Fucking before him, Finnan.
Yeah.
But if you know that the fullback's not going to beat his man, then you're happy to let him have the ball.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? And I think the problem Liverpool have got sometimes is when he plays is that they don't adjust the shape to help him. They just say, right, you've got the ball, you're going to have to do as well as what sent us. And he's like, fuck's sake, lads. Do you know what I mean? And I think tonight Liverpool played really well around him, but also we played really well and he imposed himself on the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're just showing the other results from tonight. And I tell you what, there's some tight groups in there, you know, just seeing a few of them. They're not showing it up, but there's some tight groups. And so for Liverpool to get through, as they have done tonight with one game to spare, you know, it's great. I don't think there'll be loads to be doing that from the Champions League this season. Just to stay on Nico for a while, Andy, because I thought he grew in confidence as the game went on. And you know, even before the assist, and Phil mentions his driving there. I think there was a little bit the first time when he went to go and then just sort of went back. But you saw it, you know, as the first half progressed and then into the second half, he just started to back himself to exploit that space that was in front of him.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's getting a feel for the ball. He's going, he's under quite a bit of pressure. I don't think your first 5 minutes, I think you play football in blocks. Sometimes, I think defenders, especially confidence players, I think you get through the first five, you get through the first 10, and then see where you are. I think his most impressive contribution towards the game, that maybe just slightly behind the assist, was getting in front of the shot. The fella misses in the end, puts it.
Was it?
Yeah. Basically just gets right in front of it, makes it really, really difficult to put it in the side net. And after Kelleher had made his first save, it was when he palmed it out.
Second half.
Gets in front of him, great. And as you said, his delivery seems to have something in him. His passing seems good. He seems to have a good understanding. And hopefully, you know, it's something to build on, especially if Trent doesn't come back in. And also, as well, that'll go in his locker. Now he knows he can perform against Ajax in the Champions League. So he'll take that away and know if he's called on again. He's got that to fall back on and point that to himself more than anyone else. Look, see, you can do it. Because a lot of the time with these kids, it's self-doubt. You know, they have a bad game. Rio Ferdinand was talking before the game, and he made a good point about it's not just trusting yourself; it's your teammates trusting you. And he said the amount of times in his career, he's had young kids come in and play with him, and they've had a good start and then levelled off, and then the players suddenly lose trust in them. You know, after a performance like that, you can't see anyone on that pitch not having faith in Nico Williams. And I thought what was really good as well at full time was the two players that got swarmed the most was both the goalkeeper and Williams. Klopp made the point of bombing over to them both, and it was great to see Anderson and all that going, yeah, well in, and just giving that affirmation, which must mean the world to them. And the other side of it, with the final word on Nico Williams, for me, he's 19 years old, he's playing in the Champions League, fucking hell.
Sorry, you know
what I mean?
Someone did a comparison last week about what some of the players we've got.
Yes,
was it 19? And then if you can't read that and then sit back and go, all right, fair enough. I don't think Alisson have played the game of professional football.
Van Dijk was still a Groningen.
Yeah, playing right back or something.
Yeah.
And it sort of, I think a lot of people just think, oh, he's playing for Liverpool and he's playing, so he's got to be brilliant. And that's not really how, it's not really how.
But it's skewed by how good Trent is.
It is. And Trent's basically a freak, isn't he? It's like Gerrard style, don't measure him as what you expect when someone's coming through.
It's like what Jonham said as well before, playing fullback for Liverpool's not like playing fullback for any other team in Europe.
You're effectively playing central midfield, just stood in a different place.
It's potentially the fullback position in Liverpool is potentially the hardest positions to play in that pitch. And you're asking 19-year-old kids to come in and beat Trent Alexander-Arnold, which he's not going to be. But, you know, absolutely no harm done there whatsoever. Well done.
Well, let's talk then, John, about another 19-year-old and what he's doing for us at the moment. Curtis Jones is having to play week in, week out. You know, probably more than any of us, including him, expected. You know, the manager, he just keeps asking him to go again. He's won the game for us tonight. It's a smart finish. You know, it might be an open goal in the end because the keeper's lost it, but it's a tough one.
He was fantastic. And I think the thing about him is, you know, you look at the skill to score that goal, and as you say, it's a tough one. he knows the playing a little bit. I think the quality of the finish, it's the only thing he can do to score from where he was, and he's got no right to score from where he was. You know, everyone looking at it thinks the keeper's catching that ball. We're looking at it, watching it, thinking like the keeper's just going to take that ball,
yeah.
And he gambles on it.
Yeah.
But that's all well and good gambling on it. But then how many times have you seen a player gamble on something and then be surprised when it comes to them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he gambles on it and just carries on watching the ball and is like, oh, well, I'll just do that and knock it in the goal.
Yeah.
And it's like the easiest thing in the world to him. But that's just a measure of the quality he's got, because there's no... He shouldn't be doing that, really.
It's a training ground goal, isn't it?
It's a training ground. It's like, you're not asked. You just let it hit your foot and go in and you... It is a training ground goal. It's something you do if the keeper's pulled out and you take the piss out of him. But he's the positive of what's happened to Liverpool this season. Curtis Jones, we were saying it before, off, you know, on hot mic. But he is. He's had to be played time and again. He probably would have played a fair amount of games anyway. Realistically, he's probably played 3 or 4 more than he would have done. And he's also played them in a different role. I think he's being asked to do different things. He's being asked to be a little bit more restricted in his play. He's being asked to be a little bit, you know, he's got to look after the ball a little bit more. He can't take as many risks as he would normally have done. And I think the thing to take away from his performances is his maturity on the ball. Playing that wide centre mid role for Liverpool is one of the, I think it's, he's talking about the fullback role being difficult for Liverpool. I think that Gini Wijnaldum role, you know, whoever's left of that role, I think that's the most difficult position Liverpool have, because what it consists of is graft and positional awareness and not much else. The ability to pass and control, but fucking work rate and positional awareness are the number one. And he's shown the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's not about him being just getting his game and floating around a pitch and playing how he wants.
Yeah.
He's showing that positional responsibility and the ability to manage his way through a game and his ability to look after the ball.
Great shots as well.
He's got the potential to be a world beater. He really has.
He's not playing on instinct either, is he? He's playing with a complete awareness of exactly what he needs to do, exactly where he needs to be, and exactly what the right thing to do with the right moment is. And at 19 or whatever he is, he's 20, you know. I think he's one of the two, I don't know. He's quite young anyway.
He's under 21.
Yeah. And for him to be doing that at this age in this football team, because you've got to remember, it's not just that he's coming to a Liverpool team and playing football well. He's coming to one of the best Liverpool football teams that ever existed, and he's playing well. And he doesn't look out of place, and that's the biggest compliment you can give him, I think.
And it's quite a jump, Phil, from what he was doing for the 23s, because I understand why he was doing for the 23s, you know, he was doing it very well. I think he got Premier League 2 player of the season. Was it last year or the year before? Who knows what fucking years are anymore. he definitely got Premier League, but he was in that team. It was up to him. He knew he had to stand out. He knew he had to get goals. He knew he had to lead that team. He was the captain, but also, you know, he's looking at it thinking, well, if I'm not scoring every week here, then, you know, we've just talked about the quality of this Liverpool team, I'm not getting noticed. And then as Jono says, he's coming to this team now and he's almost doing what Wijnaldum was doing last year. It's a complete change. It's almost like, it's like going from street football to the highest standard tactical football you can imagine, and he's done it almost seamlessly.
Yeah, I remember, I think he's come a long way, because I remember watching a couple of the UEFA Youth League.
Yeah, games. Used to be on in the afternoon
before the Champions League games.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't watch as much under 23s or under whatever's as you do. And this was literally the 4 or 5 games I was seeing. And I was watching him, and I was like, yeah, I'm not quite sure. You're watching other players, like Elliot was in there as well, and you're like, hey, I think he might have a bit more about him. But he's just come on, so he's learned in the last year so much, and it's incredibly impressive what he's doing. And if this isn't his peak, there's a hell of a footballer, and I don't think it is his peak. And he's potentially sorted to roll for Liverpool for the next 10 years plus.
Can I just dive in just on the, just generally with the kids who played today? As I just watching the game back now, they played as if they played with a freedom. It was almost, you know, they didn't play like it was a Champions League game. And they play without the pressure. I don't know whether that's just innate or what they've been telling them at the academy or at Melwood, it's Kirby now, isn't it? what they've been coaching him, but the maturity, the three of them today, given the circumstances and, you know, what how much Liverpool wanted to get the results so they could have the week off next week, I think it's a massive compliment to all three. Well, the entire team, to be honest. And then you've got Reece Williams coming on at the end as well, and what trust they've shown in him. But no, they're fantastic, because the amount of time you see kids coming on, they're a little bit nervy, you can see them panicking a little bit. Not one bit of it.
Do you think it helps when there's more than one of them? Sorry, John. Do you think it helps when there's more than one of them? In the
because they've been grown up together,
well, not just that, but they sort of just know, well, if I do something wrong, a kid does something wrong. So, sorry, what I mean is more that you think you might, because you're a kid, you think you might be the likeliest person to do something wrong. Do you think it possibly relaxes them if they know that there's more than one of them?
Almost as if
there's like a safety net. Well, you could be the one who makes the mistake, and it might not be me. And they sort of
almost like they're not just looking at me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
I think also, I think the brilliance of this Liverpool side is based in its management, and the management of this squad, and the integration of these young kids is as good as you'll see. And a manager, we said it time and again, but he might possibly be one of the best ever managers of people that we've ever seen, and his ability to extract and inspire and get the best out of everyone who he engages with is, you know, he's in the top fucking 5% in the world almost, you know, almost. You go back to that story of when they interviewed him for the manager's role, and the feedback to the owners was, I'd employ him as a CEO of any of our major organisations, never mind a football manager. He's an unbelievable people manager. And the skill he's got is the ability to just make that choice today to say to Adrian, look, lad, you're getting
paid. Imagine the conversation you have with Keller. Imagine being Keller. Yeah,
exactly. But also imagine being Adrian. And imagine having to sit on the bench and swallow it, saying, right, you're our second choice keeper, we signed you as our second choice keeper. You're being panned for this kid who's played against Milton Keynes, Dons, and fucking Aston Villa, and he conceded five. There is two games, but I'm putting him in this game we need to win. And you're going to have to suck it up, sit on the bench and be happy with it. Imagine having the ability to convince people that that's A, good thing, and B, the right thing for you and the team. And then tell him, don't worry about him with the yellow towel, he's not asked. He's all right. You look after yourself. That takes some ability as a manager. That's an unbelievable skill. And that's the quality of this little team.
This is the point I'm making. They make that decision to play Keller, and not one of the back four, and especially the senior members of the squad, treated them with kid gloves and stuff.
No, exactly. It's like, right, you're in this team on your own merit, so you have to aim your ability. It's not, and that's the brilliance of it, it's not, we're giving kids a chance.
You give them a twat of a pass, eh?
Yeah, it's not, we're giving kids a chance, and, you know, we're going to make special, you know, allowances for them. It's, you're in this team on merit, prove it then. And that's all the best sides you've ever seen. I've had that. You know, you remember Liverpool of years gone by. But what used to happen? We used to sign people, we put them in the resis for a year until they learned how to play like Liverpool. It's the same philosophy, it's just a different way of showing it.
Absolutely. I think, I've lost myself there with the yellow towel talk.
I was actually going to say, so if you want me to.
Go ahead, yeah.
At some point, we're going to have to. I think there's a temptation at the minute for a lot of people to sort of feel sorry for themselves about everything with, you know, the amount of injuries. At some point, instead of going, this is really, really crap and a pain in the arse and all that kind of stuff, you've got to start thinking about the incredible things that footballers who are available are doing. We've got, at the minute, intermittently this season, we've had the best goalkeeper in the world missing, the best centre-back in the world missing, one of the best midfielders in the world who's played about 25 minutes for the club and then nearly had his leg taken off and missed out. And despite them being not here, and multiple other players being not here either, we've qualified from the Champions League with a game to spare and won the group. And we're top of the league after, 10, 11 games? Like, goal difference, we're behind on goal difference, but whatever, who cares? At some point, there's got to be a sort of thing where you just go instead of going, oh, this is getting me down, which is a lot of people's mindset at the minute, that it's a bit, you feel like you're getting kicked in the balls every week with whatever. What they're doing is incredible. At the minute, the way they've come through that four games in 9 days. We play, it's Tuesday now, we've played four games since last Sunday.
Yeah, and today, I think to go back what we said earlier, today's the key, I think getting through today is the key to the rest of our season, because I think we then go again on Sunday, we find a way to beat Wolves on Sunday, hopefully, and you've got a week off, you've got a few players back, everything just settles down, and then before you know it, you've got fucking Thiago back on the sides, you've got, you know, all right, you might be shy of a centre-half or two, but you know, come the other side of Christmas, you're relatively full strength. Get some players back in this team. Never mind being joint top of the league. We'll start fucking spannering people again.
Might even be able to play a proper team in the FA Cup at Villa at this rate, you never know.
Yeah, don't. Calm yourself. John makes a point about the centre-halves there. We're in a nice-ish position with them now, whereas the two of them should be able to play the next three important games.
Such wood.
Yeah, I mean, something might happen in training and things like that, but you saw the difference having the two of them there, I think, today. You know, they do keep a clean sheet. Yeah, it's not perfect, but I think that's mainly, you know, a bit of tiredness in midfield that we're seeing sort of runners go and stuff like that. But they should both be able to play Sunday now, and then they don't put them anywhere near Denmark, and then he asked them to go again against Fulham. And that's a nice position to have, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly more comfortable than what we've been in the last couple of weeks. I mean, the fact of being able to come back relatively quickly when the initial diagnosis was, you know, people were worried about how he'd do. And also as well, it's the more they do play, the better they'll get, because it's only a relatively fresh partnership. The pair of them haven't played together at centre-half quite often. I'm sure the stats fill me in on exactly how many minutes to the second. But no, as I said earlier, there was a calmness there at the back, which maybe no one was expecting. I thought there'd be a high scoring game today. And all right, you know, Ajax had a couple of chances, but they never really opened us up that much. Mm. And then when they did, you know, you had the young lad there, we're just watching bits over the corner now. We never seemed panicked. And that's worried me a little bit, even when we've had a potentially stronger side out. There's been times this season where we've looked a little bit ragged, and I don't think there was any of that tonight at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll round it up there. I'll just ask you for a quick man of the match. I'll start with you, Phil.
Curtis Jones, I think.
Okay, Andy?
Well, you could go Curtis, but I'm going to go with the Union, aren't I? So I'll go with the goalie.
That's right. Ben?
I think I'm going to go with the keeper.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still a young lad, whoever you want to pick. Danny, who's your man of the match?
Who's the young lad
you haven't
said?
Alan
Williams.
No one's going Nico Williams.
Williams, you know what?
Either way, Liverpool are through to the next round of the Champions League, as Phil says as well. Joint top of the Premier League as well on goal difference. It's not a bad time to be a Red, is it? And all the good stuff to come. Nice one to Ben, nice one to Phil, a nice one to Andy, a nice one to you. We'll see you soon.